Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I hope you got something out of Sunday school this morning.
Amen.
I know I did.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. It's a lot to it.
Yes.
A lot to it. Amen. Amen. Grace. There's something about that grace, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I made a note to myself about that grace. Said, and it was in reference to, well, first let me start off. Let me back up. Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord for being here.
Amen.
Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for allowing this message to go forth. Father, we thank you for the people that are gathered here in your name, Father. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for our loved ones, our children, our grandchildren, Father. We thank you for our partners, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you have brought us here to worship you and to praise your word, Father God. We thank you for the message that will be given, Lord, and we thank you for the Sunday school message that was given today, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I hope my eyes hold up because I've been up a lot today, early hours, so I'll be wiping my eyes a little bit just so I can stay with it. Amen. Like I was saying, I get a lot out of Sunday school, and I don't know who doesn't.
Yes.
And it always takes a little bit of my message before I can get to it because I want to make comments on what I heard this morning. And talking about Esau and the mess of pottage, I got something out of that too. And what I got of it was, don't reject your birthright unaware, as Esau did.
Yeah.
You know, there's a message there.
Yes.
He just counted as nothing. And what we have in Christ Jesus is more valuable than a mess of pottage. Mm-hmm. Don't throw away what God has given you.
Yes.
God the Father gave his son, allowed his son to become flesh so that we might have salvation and eternal life. Mm-hmm. I asked myself a question during Sunday school. And the question I asked myself is, as a Christian, when folks come into a disaster area, what needs to be done?
Yes.
Well, those people who come into a disaster area are looking for ways to help those that are in a disaster.
Mm-hmm. Well,
this world is a disaster place.
Yes.
We are those that come into the world being newborn, mm-hmm. being born again.
Yes.
We've got to help those that are in this disaster area.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. The other message I got out of this was, sometimes we need to move more slowly through the scriptures because of the depth of God's word is endless. What does that mean? It means that you can read the word over and over and over again and still find newness in the word. If you look, if you dig, if you study to show thyself approved. Mm-hmm. Amen. And the last note I put for myself was, we need to change our position to one of action. Oh. Non-action or non-intervention, we talked about mediators, and non-intervention, that signifies that what is going on will continue unabated and unchanged. So we've got to move to a position of action to change that which is non-action. If you participate in non-action, that means that whatever is going on before will continue to go on.
Well,
at some point in time, this sinning has to stop. No. So you have a responsibility as a born-again Christian to move forward. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
My message today is part one, time of the Gentiles, but a continuation of part one. There was so much to part one, I couldn't actually go over all of it. And I had to take it in sections.
Yes.
On our webpage, I'm already up to part seven. But now I want to go back. You know, what I mentioned earlier about God's word should be going slowly, because you continue to see things in God's word. And although I wrote this maybe months and months ago, I'm still seeing things in it and getting new understanding about what I wrote.
Yes.
And I thank God for the Holy Spirit that's able to take us by hand,
yes,
and lead us through his word, so that we can understand it. Not, you know, we all have our own individual understanding of God's word. What Pastor Stevens understands may not be what I understand.
Well,
I have to be led to understand what he's understanding by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And that's okay.
Yes.
That's okay. We're all at different positions in Christ. But understand, we're in Christ.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. The finger doesn't say, I wish I was a thumb.
Right.
You know, it has its job to do.
Yes.
Each of us in the body of Christ have our body to do. And we should not look at it as being any more important or any less important.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. You think about it, although you may not think this hand communicates with this hand, let this hand go down.
Yes.
And you'll find that this hand will take the slack up.
Yes.
Amen. That's what we have to do as Christians. We must take the slack up. If it's not being done, somebody should do it.
Yes.
Somebody should take action.
Yes.
So as I was studying this again, and I said, the time of the Gentiles, what I will do now, I will cover what Jesus said,
yes,
in Luke 21 and 24. That I did not cover before. And I want to preface that by saying what Jesus said. A lot of times we go over what Paul said and what this said, who said this, said. But when you start to get into what Jesus said and really look at how he said it and to whom he said it and what was the significance of what he said, you can get something different out of it.
Yeah.
And so Jesus said in 21 and 24, he said this. Jesus is talking. And I want you to keep that in mind, who's talking here. He said, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive in all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles. And I made a note of this before. I said, until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And I mentioned earlier that there's a time limit. Is a set time that the Gentile reign will come to an end.
Mm-hmm.
They will not continue on indefinitely. And Jesus is saying this. Jesus put the Gentiles on a fixed timeline with the word until. Although people who are not Christians in the word of God don't really look at certain words and what Jesus says and give certain information out.
Yes.
That the ordinary person who's not a Christian cannot pick up.
Right.
But Jesus said until.
Yes.
Just like my mother. She was around, mm-hmm, until she passed away.
Uh-huh.
That's an until.
Yes.
So when you look at it in those, that frame of mind, everything is going to come to a point. And that point is when Jesus returns. Amen. One of the questions is asked, when did the time of the Gentiles start, and what will be the final result? The disciples I mentioned before asked a similar question in Luke 21 and 7. They said, and they asked him, saying, Master, this is Jesus and his group of people now. Mm-hmm. Understand the group. And understand that these people were asking Jesus a question are Jews. They're not Gentiles, they're Jews.
Mm-hmm.
So evidently it's a Jewish agenda right now that they want to gain information and insight on.
Yes.
So they put the question to him, saying, Master, mm-hmm, but when will these things be?
Well, yes.
And what signs will there be when these things shall come to pass? They want to know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Amen. Putting ourselves in that frame of light, we know on this side what's going to happen. Because we have something that the prophets and the righteous people wanted to know about, but couldn't grasp at that time because it wasn't for them.
Yes.
There are certain things that Paul knew that Peter didn't know. Mm-hmm. And that's all right.
Yes.
That's okay.
Yes.
So the reason for the question was based upon when someone spoke of how adorned the temple was, and Jesus replied about that in 21 and 6. He said, "As for these things which you behold, the day will come in which there shall not be one stone left upon another that shall not be thrown down." Understand how Jesus is framing this now. He's getting to a point with this, giving his followers, his disciples, an understanding. Because they didn't have an understanding of the end times.
Yes.
Nobody had told them how it was all going to end.
Yes.
But Jesus took it upon himself to enlighten his Jewish brethren. But if you look and continue to read Matthew's 24 and 3, they asked the same question, but another caveat was put into that that was not asked in Luke. And when you look at that, you'll find out there was another question that was asked. And I'll read it here. It says, "And he said upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, what shall these things be?" Same thing mentioned in Luke. And they added this, "What shall be the sign?" The sign of thy coming.
Yes.
And of the end of the world.
Yes.
That's different from what was talked about in Luke.
Yes.
They want to know what's going to be the sign, Jesus. Mm-hmm. And of the end of the world.
Yes.
How's the world going to end, Jesus? Mm-hmm. You can add your own adjectives to whatever is said there. Mm-hmm. But you get the drift.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
They want to know.
Jesus,
how you gonna come back? And how's this gonna end? You can see the question that they raised.
Yes.
Jesus being very enduring to this.
Yes.
They wanted to know that where are they gonna be, the brethren, the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. And understand that when he said, when the disciples said, "And the end of the world," understand that we're going to be gone. We're going to be raptured out.
Yes, yes.
So keep that in mind, that what Jesus is getting ready to talk about is not about us.
Right.
Yes.
It's about what the Jews, the disciples, asked Jesus. Mm-hmm. And keep that in mind. They asked him a question. And Jesus will give you an answer.
Amen.
I think they were saying in Sunday school, your prayers do not go unanswered.
Right.
Did you pick that up?
Yes.
Amen, amen, amen. Jesus provided an answer in Luke 21, 8 through 36. And that's what I didn't go over when I was here the first time. Mm-hmm. When I was here the first time, I just went directly to Deuteronomy and talked about those kinds of things, about Nebuchadnezzar and that. But I didn't talk about this. Mm-hmm. And that's what hit me. Mm-hmm. I said, well, wait a minute, Bill. Don't not talk about this, because this is Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, talking about the Jews.
Right.
So, as I mentioned earlier in my introduction, that we're in a disaster area right now.
Yes.
And we need to know what to say to those that may be in that disaster period. Uh-huh. We won't be here, but what are you going to do about it?
Well,
are you going to just say, well, I'm okay, I'm fine, I'm gone? Don't you care about those that may be left? Whether they be Gentiles or Jews. What can you tell the Jews about what's going to happen?
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to want to know, because they're going to be in derision.
Yes.
They're not going to know what to do. And Jesus tells them, as we go through this, he tells them that. And this is what Jesus is talking now. Jesus is talking in Luke 8, I'm reading, 21 and 8. He said, and he said, take heed that ye be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. Who's talking? Jesus.
Yeah.
Who's he talking to? The Jews.
Yeah.
Is he talking to the church?
No.
No. And why is Jesus now talking about this is because they asked the question.
Yes.
What will be the sign of your coming, and what is the sign of the end of the world? Understand this. The disciples had an understanding of world ending. Not Jerusalem ending. Mm-hmm. Not Judea ending.
All right.
Not a province out there ending. Mm-hmm. Not Babylon just ending. He's saying the world.
Yes.
So if the world comes to an end, there's got to be something after.
All right.
Amen.
Amen.
The disciples weren't ignorant, but they were ignorant of what's going to happen. God bless them for asking the question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if I would have had the wherewithal to ask Jesus, mm-hmm. you know, that those two questions there.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, but when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must come to pass first. But the end is not by and by. Who's he talking to? The Jews. Keep that in mind. Because a lot of times we get hung up at that.
Yes.
We as Christians say, oh, there's going to be wars coming around, be wars and rumors of war. He's not talking to you.
All right. Thank you.
He's trying to inform the Jewish brethren what's going to be happening.
Yes.
Then said he unto them, and look who's continuing to talk. Jesus is continuing to talk. Amen?
Amen.
He's saying, then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
I want to stop. Who's he talking to?
Jesus.
Is he talking to the church?
No.
Keep that in mind. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilence, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. Who's he talking to? Those Jews that will be left behind.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. A lot of times we as Christians say, oh, Lord, you look at all this stuff happening today. Look at the birds flying in the sky, earthquakes, and all this stuff happening today, right now, today. Well, yeah, they are happening today. You might want to call them the beginning of woes. That's what you might want to call them.
Yes.
But we're not going to be caught up in the things that the Jews are going to be caught up that Jesus is trying to explain to them.
Yes.
But before all this, look at that.
Mm.
But before all these,
uh-huh.
listen. I mean, Jesus is telling us, giving us so much information here. He said, but before these, before all these, they shall lay hands on you. Wow. And persecute you, deliver you up to the what? Synagogues.
Yes.
They didn't, Jesus didn't say they're going to be delivering you up to the church.
No.
Did he?
No.
Understand what Jesus is saying and to whom his audience is.
Mm-hmm.
And into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake.
Yes.
Because they're going to get wind that Jesus is for real.
Yes.
And I believe in him. But because you Jew believe in Jesus Christ, we're going to haul you in prison.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
For his name's sake.
Yes.
So that means some of those, Jesus is telling us right now that some of those Jews are going to understand who he is.
Yeah.
So therefore, let's go back to the introduction.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't we be able to tell the Jews right now, today, what's going on?
Yes.
Shouldn't we be in a position to share with them what we know?
Yes.
About the end times.
Yes.
Amen. Just because you're skating doesn't mean the ice is melted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ice is going to melt with all the people trying to tread this ice here. Mm-hmm. And it's going to get weak. And they've got to know what's going to be happening.
Well,
you know.
Yes.
Don't you hate it when somebody, I don't say you hate it, but don't you dislike when somebody say, oh, boy, you should see, I know what's going on now. You don't know, but I know. And what do you do? Say, tell me, what's going on? What did you see? Oh, I'm not telling you. I can't tell you this. You just go for your see for yourself. We don't want to take that position.
No.
We don't want them to see for themselves. We want them to be aware of what's going on.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And the next verse says, and it shall turn unto you for a testimony. Do you see how that can make sense now? Because if the Jews are going through this imprisonment, their working and understanding of Jesus Christ is going to turn into a testimony for them.
Yes.
Wouldn't you like to have a testimony like that? Amen. Wouldn't you like to have a testimony that I stand for Christ, Jesus, no matter what I go through, no matter what evils may come upon me?
Yes.
Had a discussion in a Bible study about troubles that come upon people. And it was in Psalms 12, I believe. Psalms 12, we were reading. And one of the verses said about the trials and, you know, things you go through. And a point was made that don't confuse what you go through as something evil. Look at it as tribulation. Because what did Jesus say? In this world, ye shall have what? Tribulation, didn't he?
Yes.
But what did he say after that? But be of what?
Good cheer.
Why? Because he's what? So that was a discussion there, but understand what this testimony means now to these Jews. And if you don't really feel that or get any emotion from what the Jews are going through, you're missing it.
Yes.
Those are God's chosen people.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
Amen.
He goes on to say, Paul in Philippians 1, 12 and 14 shows us his testimony.
Well,
okay, in regards to being persecuted and delivered up, what they are going to go through. I just wanted to digress a minute from what Jesus was talking about and understand that Paul went through some things too. And he said, Paul said, But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel. So what you would do for the Jews and non and Gentiles today will be for what? The furtherance of the gospel.
Yes.
That's all.
Yes.
Not for personal gain, not for what was talked about in Sunday school, big house, money, and all this. You're not doing it for that, because that'll pass away.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
Paul went on to say, so that my bonds in Christ are manifested in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. That's why we need to have leaders in the church that are not fearful about calling black black and white white. They don't mind calling what it is. That's heresy. That's not the truth. I've been reading other things lately about the Holy Spirit and how all of these other doctrines come up about God. And if they would just go ahead and read Genesis first chapter, they'll refute a lot of things that they're talking about.
Right.
And I'm not a scholar. I'm not one of those persons who do all, but I... Genesis 1 don't support what you're talking about.
Right.
You know, and these were learned men who had all these different approaches.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Therefore, now I'll get back to what Jesus is saying because of what was said earlier. Jesus said, settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer, for I will give you a mouth. Listen to what he said, for who will give it?
I will
give it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Understand what Jesus is saying here.
Right.
He's participating in this.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This end time for the Jews. He said, I will give you a mouth and wisdom, and all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist, be able to contradict or withstand. Can you see Jesus is giving the disciples what's going to be happening to the Jews in the end time?
Yes.
But now he interjects himself into that end time scenario by saying, I will give you what you're going to be saying.
Right.
Wow. Isn't that something?
Yes.
Jesus is going to be there helping those Jews who do not make it during the rapture, but he's going to be there putting words in their mouths to say to these people.
Yes.
Well, I don't want to be there, but I just want to imagine what they might be saying. You know?
Right.
You know, they'll probably be saying stuff that the martyrs were saying.
Yes.
You know, whether you burn me, whether you slice me up, I will not deny Jesus. I can just imagine how strong they'll be, how strong their testimony will be. Mm-hmm. Those people, they'll be under the altar in their robes of white, saying, how long, Lord? How long? Amen, amen. I don't know about you, but I get excited about God's word and who he is, you know. That's why when I sit at home sometimes and I'm in my office and I'm reading this, and I tell you, it's just such an overwhelming feeling to understand that the Holy Spirit is sharing with you personally the Word of God. And I tell you, folks, I wrote this earlier. Don't forget that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't look at it like this. That's why he can shed different light on the Word every time you read it.
Yes.
You might think you're going to come this way in the Word. He'll take you this way on the Word.
All right.
Amen. Amen. It said, and Jesus is still talking, and ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends, and some of you shall they cause to be put to death.
Yes.
Is he talking about the church?
No.
He's talking about the Jews.
Yes.
So understand when you're reading, and Jesus is sharing this with us. And ye shall be hated of all men. Why? For my name's sake.
Yes.
They hate the name of Jesus.
Yes,
they hate it.
Yes, they do.
Why do you think they're giving gifts and everything when the two speakers that come down are killed in the streets and their bodies are left in the street? Why do you think they're giving gifts?
Thank you.
Because they hate Jesus. They hate what they were saying. They hate what they were doing. So we're going to send gifts to everybody. Make this a celebration. But Jesus go on to say, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
Not a hair on your head shall perish. Aren't they going through this stuff? But if your body is your body and your hair is your hair, oh, that's going to come back. It won't go away. It won't perish. In verse 18, Jesus is still answering the question that his disciples asked him in Matthew 24 and 3. Here Jesus is telling the disciples about the end times in regard to the Jews that are left during the tribulation.
Okay.
Scriptures that support this. Remember, you think that these Jews are going through this by themselves. I would say no to that. Look at what 2 Chronicles 16 and 9 has to say. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of who? Of them whose heart is perfect toward him.
Yes.
Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. Psalm 34:7 says, the angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them.
Yes.
Delivers them.
Mm-hmm.
Goes on to say, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Psalms 125 and 2. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth ever and ever. What is that saying? What is that saying? It is saying the Lord is not around his people. is not saying it here. He says, henceforth and forever and ever. In Luke 19, we continue. Jesus is telling them something that's very important for them.
Yes.
And if you're following how I've been tracking this, look at what he says in 19. And I think this was said earlier today. In your patience, possess ye your souls.
Yes.
Patience. Who's he talking to?
The
Jews.
The Jews. Yes.
Is he talking to the church?
No.
He's talking to the Jews. He's telling the disciples. Imagine the disciples are sitting there in the front two rows.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus is there talking to them about what they asked him.
Mm-hmm.
He said, in your patience, possess ye your souls.
Mm-hmm.
How was that hitting them? Mm-hmm. Oh, they said, oh, okay, Jesus. Okay. Can't we take anything serious? Can't we take anything inside of ourselves and say, that's what Jesus is saying, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Let's believe what he's saying. We hear what Paul says, and some folks
mm-hmm.
take it as just a saying,
yes.
or just what he said. But understand, Paul had received what the 12 apostles did not receive.
Yes.
And I won't get into this, but do you understand that Paul was really greater than the other disciples, the apostles? Why? Because he had all of the end time mysteries given to him to give to us.
Yes.
They didn't.
No.
I'm not saying anything less about them.
No.
You know, Paul even said, sometimes I know it's hard for some of the things to understand and grasp what Paul says. That's Peter talking.
Yeah.
Peter's talking. Go on. The word patience or forbearance is a state of endurance under difficult circumstances. So, also, preserving in the face of delay or provocation without acting on negative annoyance or anger. Or demonstrating patience when under strain, especially when faced with long-term difficulties.
Yes.
Patience is also a character trait of being steadfast.
Right.
Are you understanding this?
Yes.
I mean, I am. I'm understanding what is being said here. And I couldn't really go over this earlier because I wanted to tell you about Nebuchadnezzar. I wanted to tell you how it all started. Also, and I'm not going there, but if you can look up for yourself, you can also look up Revelation 3:10. But let's continue with Luke 20. And this is what I believe is the key verse here. I believe this is a very key verse. It says, and when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Who's he talking to? So, armies encamped around Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Will we be here?
No.
We won't, will we?
No.
Because why? He's talking about the Jews. Sometimes Christians get it mixed up of what's going to be happening, where we're going to be. They don't even know when we're leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them to read just the first four chapters of Revelation. Okay?
Yes.
I don't have much more. Praise the Lord. Jesus is still talking.
Yes.
And he's saying here in 21, then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter therein too. For these be the days of vengeance, and all things which are written may be fulfilled. Jesus is talking because they asked him.
Right.
They asked him, what's going to be the sign of thy coming and the end time? This is some of the signs. The signs of those that are going to be left behind
yes.
need to focus on. Because he said, when you see Jesus talking to the disciples, when you see armies encamped around Jerusalem, understand it's real close. What's real close? His coming back.
Yeah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. But woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land and wrath upon this people.
Mm-hmm.
this people, this Jewish people. Another key verse is 24, and it says, "And they shall fall by the edges of the sword, and shall be led away captive to all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled." That's a heavy statement Jesus made there. "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity and the seas and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken."
Yes.
What did Paul say in Ephesians about those things? He said, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers."
Yes.
Guess what, y'all? Those powers are also going to be shaken.
Yes.
He said, and look at what I said, "For the powers of heaven." Mm-hmm. So evidently, Jesus is saying heaven has power.
Yes.
"But that power which is in heaven shall be shaken."
Yes.
God is God.
Yes, he is.
God is in charge. Don't think that what's going on today in this world, God doesn't have a handle on.
Right.
Oftentimes it's tribulation, yes, but be of good cheer.
Yes.
Tribulation, you're going to go through it.
Yes.
You're going to go through tribulation. You're not going to slide all through your life.
Okay.
You're going to have some things to carry.
Yes.
Maybe all your life.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay. Amen.
Amen.
And why is it okay? Now Jesus is talking. See how he's coming to the point? In 27 he says, "And then,"
well,
what? "And then shall they see." Who is they? Jews. Keep in mind who he's talking to.
Jews.
"And then they shall see" who? "The Son of Man." Didn't Pastor talk about God and man?
Yes.
The mediator?
Yes.
Both man and God?
Mm-hmm.
"And they shall see the Son of God." Didn't say that, did he? He said, Jesus is saying about himself, "You shall see the Son of Man."
Mm-hmm.
And where was this Son of Man before? In heaven.
Yes.
Doing what? Tied into the Sunday school.
Mm-hmm.
Tied in.
Mm-hmm.
He was being a mediator.
Yes.
But now he's left that mediatorial post,
mm-hmm,
to show himself as God.
Wow.
Still righteous, but now with the iron club.
Yes.
And it says here, "And they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud," what? "With power and great glory."
Yes.
That should give them boost for say, oh, thank the Lord.
Yes.
He's coming. "And when these things begin to come to pass," if the Jews, when we're raptured out, they should really go to Luke and read it.
Yes. Right.
They should go to Luke and read it because it tells them exactly what's going to be happening.
Yes.
He said, "And when these things come to pass, then look up."
Yes.
"And lift up your heads."
Uh-huh.
"For your redemption,"
right,
"draweth nigh."
Yes.
They're going to be redeemed. What did he say? Your redemption.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but I think I know what redemption means.
Yes.
That means to get back what was possessed before.
Yes.
Amen. Then I thought this was really nice. If they didn't understand that, Jesus spoke to them in a parable. He said, "Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own self that summer is now nigh at hand.
Yes.
So likewise, you Jews,"
mm-hmm,
"when ye see these things come to pass," you Jews,
wow,
"know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand." What kingdom is he talking about? The kingdom that he came the first time to give them, but they rejected.
Yes.
Well,
but now your king, the kingdom is right at hand. It's real close.
Yes.
He said, Jesus is talking again. I mean, this is so powerful what he's saying.
Yes.
He's saying, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," he only said it once, I just repeated it.
Mm-hmm.
"Verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Now, imagine yourself being in the company of the disciples listening to Jesus give them this scenario. And he comes to a conclusion by saying, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away.
Yes, wow. Yes, yes.
He's saying like, hey, you can put that in the bank.
All right.
What I just told you in these verses above, uh-huh. That's going to happen.
Thank you.
Yes. Period.
Yes.
No ifs, ands, buts about it.
Yes.
It's going to happen.
Yes.
So he says, so what else could Jesus say after saying this? What else could he give them?
Right.
Look at it with understanding now. He just did this. But look into what he's saying after this. He says, and take heed to yourselves. He can almost say that to us about giving up or not understanding the grace that God has given us. Oh boy, if we could talk about grace in its full context, you'll be in this altar thanking God for what he's given us as grace. And to think Esau didn't even think it was important enough to. And what did he say? What did Pastor say about that? There wasn't even any meat in the stew. It was just vegetables, you know. How little regard he had for being chosen as the firstborn. Amen. I don't know. I don't take anything I get from God for granted that I get out of the Word. You know, I don't take any of that.
No.
And if I don't understand it, guess what? It's meant for me to dig into it and understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times I go over stuff and I don't really understand it, but I just move on. I don't stop and go back. Maybe a year or so later, it'll dawn on me. The Holy Spirit will say, you ready to go back and understand what you went over? I said, yes, yes, Holy Spirit, I'm ready. And he gives it to me. And he says, take heed yourself, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with suffering and drunkenness and cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unaware. For as a snare it shall come on all them that dwell on where? The face of the world. Wow. Watch, therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass.
Yes.
Listen to what he's saying. That you'll be able to stand against all these things which shall come to pass.
Yes.
It's going to happen.
Yes.
Thank God that you're not going to be here.
Yes. Yes.
Thank God. You just should thank God for your salvation.
Yes.
Lord, I thank you that I'm not going to be able to suffer all those things.
Thank
seeing
you,
these powers of the heavens shaking and falling down earth. Revelation talk a lot about these powers when they come to the earth. But they talk about it. But the thing about, thank God that you're not going to be here. And thank God for your salvation.
Yes.
Isn't your salvation worthy of you to talk to other people who are lost, who do not know Christ, that you can just give them a word?
Mm.
Non-action is the same as no action at all.
Yes.
You just saved. Period.
All right.
You just Christian. Period. What are you doing about your salvation? The word tells us, do not become weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. So many of us get tired. Want to just say, I'll do it tomorrow. I don't really feel like it, Pastor. You know, God bless you, but it just ain't in me right now. I've got the cares on my shoulder to worry about. You remember the story about the tares?
Mm-hmm.
Cares of this world bear them down, and they just don't want to go through it.
All right.
You got to pull yourself up.
That's what you got to do.
You think... You think everybody here always want to get up early and go to church? Huh? You think everybody want to read the lesson? Everybody, I'm not talking about us. I know we do. But you think everybody want to just stand for Christ? You think everybody? No.
Come on now.
But what makes them do it? What gives them that unction to get up every morning?
Yes.
What gives them that unction to put a smile on their face when they could be smiling? That was what the Jews did. They did not enter into his house with gladness. That's songs. I won't get in there. But that's why they were rejected.
Yes.
We should enter his house with praise.
Yes.
And praise his holy name.
Yes.
For he is God.
Yes,
yes, he is.
All by himself.
Yes.
He don't need me. He don't need me.
Yes.
What was said earlier today in Sunday school is so appropriate. He said, you think you're smart, but you're a dummy.
Yes.
I think he was talking about one of your relatives. Said, you know, you get to heaven, you think you're smart? You ain't nowhere near it.
No.
You know, so thank God for where you are today.
Yes.
Thank God for what you know today.
Yes.
Like I said, I may not know what Pastor Stevens knows, but I know what I know.
Yes.
Isn't that good to say that I know what I know?
Yes.
I may not know what you know.
Mm-hmm.
I may not know what Elder Kenny knows, but I know what I know.
Yes.
And I know that Jesus saves.
Yes.
And I know that he came to earth. And I know the gospel.
Yes.
And I preach the gospel.
Yes.
If you do, you know the gospel can be given to somebody in a minute.
Yes.
Only thing I just said, he died, rose again from the dead, sent him to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he said. You have to believe the gospel. Amen.
Amen.
Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things which come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Not the Son of God. Why is it important? Homework question. Why is it important that he said, stand before the Son of Man? That ye shall be what? Worthy to stand before the Son of Man. Think about it. Think about what he said. Jesus talking. And to stand before the Son of Man. Why not the Son of God? Why Son of Man? The Son of Man went through all those trials. It was the Son of Man who took your sins upon his back.
Yes.
It was the Son of Man who was turned away by God himself. Not looking upon him. These sins in the Garden of Gethsemane was all heaped upon him. You better be worthy to stand before the Son of Man for what he did for you.
Yes.
Do you understand there's never been a time that I know of in God's economy that there was ever a Son of God and a Son of Man until he came to earth? Wow. Unique.
Yes.
That tells you just how much God loves us.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he say that God won't talk to you? He can't talk. What can you say? You can't say nothing to God. I need, you know, get somebody who will speak for you because I can't hear nothing. You flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't hear nothing that you say. God speaking.
Yes.
But you got somebody.
Yes.
Able to speak for you.
Yes.
That man is Jesus Christ.
Yes.
He, God will listen to.
Yes.
He, God will say, okay.
Yes.
Why? Because blood
cleanses
all.
Yes.
The ever-powering power of blood. Again, Pastor said this morning, the blood will what? Never lose its power, even today.
Yes.
So, yeah, understand the significance of what he said here, y'all. That you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Understand what Jesus is saying for what he did for you, that you might have eternal life. Eternal life. Lord, I'm glad, you know, I'll be honored to stand before you.
Yes.
You know, thank you, Jesus,
yes,
for what you did.
Yes.
All eternity I'm going to be thanking him for what he did.
Amen.
I don't think it's going to be a day, if there is a day,
all
right, that goes by,
all right,
that I won't be thanking him,
amen,
for what he did.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
How can you not? Amen. For $1 million, you're going to sell your soul. For a big house, you're going to sell your soul. For a monstrous church, you're going to sell your soul.
Come on now, Elder.
Come on.
Yes.
God, Pastor talked about this so many, there's so many things you can reflect on.
Yes.
Every time I look at this table sometime, you know what I think about? You know what I think about when I think of this table? A message that he gave years ago. about you just want to take a cupcake off the table.
Yes.
And he's got all the stuff laid out here. He's got pies, turkeys, chicken, everything, but you just want a piece of it.
Yes.
God has a table spread before you with everything.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Now, Luke 21 and 8 brings in Daniel's 70th week, and that's where I started on my first message. Mm-hmm. I started there. Daniel 70th week, which brings the Jews back into the timeline. Mm-hmm. Okay? Daniel 9:27 says, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. The covenant that is made will only last for 1 week. The prophecy is primarily with the Jews,
yes.
Israel and Jerusalem. The 70 weeks is meant to what? To finish the transgressions.
Yes.
Of who? Not the church.
No.
Not the body of Christ.
No.
Scriptures provide clarity for this. And listen, if you want to be just, what do you say? Not worrisome, but just so thankful. Do you want to just be, oh, thank the Lord. If you want to just give a praise report and everything, listen to what Daniel says here for the Jews. Mm-hmm. Remember, Daniel was concerned about his people, wasn't he?
Yes.
Listen to what he said in Daniel 24, and I'll end with this one. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. Holy city is Jerusalem, right?
Yes.
And listen to what he says after that. To finish the transgressions and to make an end of sin and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness, mm-hmm. and to seal up the vision,
yeah. uh-huh.
and prophecy, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. to anoint the most holy.
Yes.
If you're not happy with that, I don't know what. But that's what it, that's what yeah. the Jews should read that and say, oh, thank you. Yeah. There were six things that will be finished.
Yes.
I like that, don't you?
Yes.
I like it.
Yes.
To make an end of sins. Woo! And that's in Daniel.
Yeah.
This now will bring us or me up to date with what has already been discussed in part one in 2 Chronicles 36, 1 through 21. We finish actually on part one now, officially. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Timely word, because this is exactly what we are looking at in our Bible study. The comparison of Matthew 24 with the Revelation and the four horsemen. How Jesus was demonstrating that each one of those boys and Romans